Hey, America.
Start now.
Not bad.
Not too bad. Oh no.
Danny, you all right, buddy?
No.
Mm-hmm. Looking a little pale.
Oh, no.
Everything
all right? No. As we said on our last program, there's something going around, and it's called Balkan Madness.
Oh, no. Tell me it's not true.
No, it's like regular madness, except I have a split personality.
I don't get it.
Derek, play the music.
And welcome to another Balkan episode of 12 Points from America, a Eurovision podcast from America, Taylor's version. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
And I'm Danny.
Hey. All right, we're starting our second 100 episodes now. Welcome to episode 101, everybody.
It's the home stretch of podcasts.
And if you listened in to our 100th episode spectacular, thank you for doing that. If you were part of our festivities for that, thank you for your participation. That was really, really fun. That was a great show.
That was great. That was
fantastic.
So I guess you could send your burning questions in for our 200th episode to be launched in about two years' time.
2.5 years, I think, is a good estimate. Yeah. Speaking of 2.5 years, Sam, hit him with the socials.
I never ever
Which
know
we've been hitting with them for 2.5 years.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, not much has changed in that front. You can hit us up on social media on Facebook or Twitter at 12pointsUSA, or just email us directly at 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. You can scope out our Redbubble for some really cool merchandise over there, or be sure to check out our YouTube page for our recently launched first edition of 12 Points Reacts, where I foisted some of my personal favorite crazy moments from Eurovisions and national finals past and present upon my unsuspecting victims, that is Eric, Derek, and Danny.
Yeah, I'm a victim.
And you didn't expect it.
Derek was suspecting.
Yeah, I was kind of suspecting. Yeah.
Well, the fact that I've been talking up Winnie Pooh for the past, 2.5 years, I was just very happy.
Nothing was going to prepare me for them, though, you know?
Yeah, how can one truly emotionally steady oneself for the vision of...
I can describe every scene from, like, Pink Flamingos, but you're still not ready to watch Pink Flamingos.
And now I'm just imagining Divine... with a wrestling singlet.
This is not
being suspended by her ankles.
Not out of character.
You know? All right.
Very easy to imagine.
Man, that would make the Little Mermaid that much more interesting, wouldn't it? I love the key change in that song, though. I mean, just
aren't there two key changes?
It's beautiful.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, if you don't know what we're talking about, again, check out our YouTube page. We have got four fantastic songs that I foisted upon my friends here, and let me know what you think. And what other songs shall you want us to foist? Grammar!
Shall you want us to foist? Yeah.
And there was much foisting.
DM Sam was the show.
What about dangling participles?
That's cool.
Ooh. Yeah, fine. They're rad.
The danglier, the better.
We're not French.
Don't say that.
What about split infinitives?
Also French.
Split, baby.
What about...
the only languages that can split their infinitive. Anyway, we've got a lot of news to cover because we're about to jump into our junior ESC, some JESC reviews in the next coming weeks. But before that, we're going to cover all of the stuff that has sort of happened over the last 2 or 3 weeks, which has been a healthy amount.
I don't think we're going to be able to cover everything because let's be real, there's been a ton, but we're going to hit on some of the highlights, some of the big stuff that I think will echo through over the next couple of months, especially as we start hearing about national selection processes and who's running and internal selections and who's being picked there. So I think before we get all of that started, I think Derek may have had a burning question in the tin, and like he's being secretive about this. He has refused to share the question that he's thought up.
You're just setting yourself up for disappointment at this stage. All right, here's your question. It's a silly one, something to come back from our 100 with. Question of this week is, if you owned a deli, what sandwich would be the Eurovision?
Ooh.
Wow.
Oh, ooh. It's the sandwich that is nothing but, like, all of the finest cheeses.
Ah.
It's got, like, a nice Dijon mustard spread. But aside from that, it's like the four nicest cheeses we have.
I'm going to say a thick slice of Conchitaverst.
There we go.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, I think you start with ciabatta because it all starts with Italy, right? Then you add...
Oh, wait a second. Gosh. Eric, I thought step one was believe in it.
Oh, that's right. Okay, step one, believe in it. Two, ciabatta. Also, I didn't know this. Did you know ciabatta didn't exist until like 1982?
Yeah, it's really new.
Like, wow. like someone in Italy was like, baguettes are in, we need our own. And that's it. That's the story of ciabatta. I didn't know that.
Only they're smaller and they named them after shoes.
I'm just going to prep you right now when we're in Italy and we go to a restaurant and you're like, ooh, some Italian bread sounds really... Italian bread is terrible.
What?
The thing is that like we're going to be heading to northern Italy, not super far from Liguria, where focaccia is king.
LaGuardia?
Yes.
I mean, depending on your itinerary, I mean... But yeah, focaccia is king in Liguria.
Okay.
And that stuff is magic.
Oh, focaccia is amazing.
Yeah. Focaccia,
I've ever had. Well, it was really disappointing, especially, you know, like you go to France, best bread in the world.
Yeah. All right, back to my answer. Step one, believe in it. Two, ciabatta. Three, just roll with it. Let's see. We need to incorporate a lot of the Eurovision, you know, greats. So
add Gravlax on there.
Swedish meatballs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Something Borscht. Swiss, but it was actually made in Canada.
so like an Guinness. Emmentaler with the holes all filled in by like coagulated maple syrup.
Oh. Poutine, whatever.
Poutine with Emmentaler. There you go.
For a second there, I was like, Eric, this sandwich is shaping up to be a monstrosity. And then I just had to stop myself because what else is Eurovision?
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, look, we'll put some, I mean, yeah,
Guinness. Slathered in nacho cheese at the end.
Guinness, since, you know, Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
They don't, that's all they have there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Blood sausage.
That's what their airport would
have. To be fair, blood sausage covers a lot of Europe.
Yeah.
That's true. Gosh, what else? What else? Something from... Actually, no, I'm going to stop there because I think anything beyond what I've already said is probably some sort of health code violation. So we're going to stop there. Swedish meatballs, Guinness, and poutine with Emmentaler on ciabatta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to everyone I will kill with this sandwich.
What about you, Derek?
Oh, I just kind of along the same line, just a nice selection of fine deli meats from various countries, different cheeses. I had a really good sandwich in France once that had different types of cheeses and it sort of was separated out. So like you eat part of it, it was one kind of cheese. Then you get further into it, it's a different kind of cheese. And it just kind of segments it, but it's all part of one big sandwich. And then the whole thing is just slathered in lingonberries and that's all you can taste.
The only thing anyone can sense. Yeah.
Yep. It's the Christer Bjorkman of berries.
Mm.
It's overwhelming.
Surprisingly tart.
Goes with everything on toast. With meatballs.
Who knows?
This episode is brought to you by Lingonberries.
Lingonberries, and the IKEA. The official berries of 12 Points from America today. We'll see about tomorrow. We had mentioned we are going to be going into Junior Eurovision coverage. Here's just a little bit of a breakdown of what that's going to look like for the next month or so, basically in the lead up to Junior Eurovision. We are going to be doing shows every week. Somebody had asked, when are you going back to weekly shows? And the answer is, right now. Yeah. Our Junior Eurovision previews, so we're going to have, I believe, three episodes of song previews and Danny ripping on things and Sam being neutral. That's going to lead up to Junior Eurovision week when Sam and I will both be in Paris for coverage of the event. I'm still not exactly sure what my coverage situation is going to look like because I don't have we don't know yet. I will say, though, I do have tickets to the show.
Woo!
So worst case, I'm just going to go to the show as like a guy who likes Junior Eurovision.
Is there
we'll do it that way.
Oh, I was just kind of curious. I haven't seen anything. Is there any word on, given the circumstances, on safety protocols and how it's going to look this year?
Well, I can't speak about last year because everything was basically remote.
Yeah.
Everything was all done remotely. We will be tested constantly. Accredited folks, I believe it's sort of going to be similar to the big show this year where you weren't getting into the press center without a recent COVID test within the last 48 hours. I believe the same thing is going to be happening with the junior crew. I believe we're going to actually have a testing site in our delegation hotel, not delegation hotel, in the staff hotel. So we are constantly going to be spitting and swabbing and scraping and yeah, it's going to be all sorts of fun. Hey. Fluids going everywhere. It's yeah. God.
That's the whole problem.
I mean, between us and the doctors, I guess. Or
I don't think we have to worry.
Friend of the show.
Friends of the show. Yeah. I don't think we have to worry too much this year about acts having to, you know, go back on tape like how Dottie Frere had to, since I just assume that everyone is going to have access to a reliable vaccine by this point. Last year, it was like the show was happening right as the vaccines were becoming widely available in the Western world, at least. I think this year we won't really have to worry about everyone being vaccinated.
Well, there are questions, though.
Okay. No,
we're talking about kids. Many of whom might not necessarily have access to the vaccine, depending on their ages or whatever circumstances are.
True.
And secondly, you know, the EU only recognizes certain vaccines, certain makes of vaccines. And there are
some... They don't like the Johnson & Johnson, do they? But that one was kind of the rickety one. Mm-hmm. Pfizer's the one that's been... Ah, well. This podcast.
But then there are also vaccines that are more common in Asia or in Europe. Sputnik. Yeah, and regulations are a little bit different. So they're erring on the side of constant vigilance, constant testing, making sure that everybody is healthy and that kids, adults, everybody, we are safe. There's not going to be as much of the social programming as there normally would be. Just, you know, keeping things low-key and safe and controlled. So it's not going to be... it's not going to be like a Euro club or anything like that. So it's, yeah.
You're telling me there's no junior Euro club?
With juice boxes and...
Yeah, Biskebi playing 24/7.
Oh, God. Pity the fool who has their hotel room directly above...
The junior Euro club?
It's a junior Euro club.
All right.
Oh, well.
So, tune in next week for the start of our junior Eurovision previews. There's some good ones this year. I'll just leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some bad ones, too. Anyway, the... let's talk about some other Eurovision news. We won't get into too many details about Junior this week, since we're going to be doing nothing but Junior for the next like month after this. And let's see, perhaps the biggest news for us as America is that they have announced February 21st, 2022 will be the premiere of the American Song Contest on NBC.
Bum, bum, bum.
I am finally at a point where I genuinely believe it is actually happening.
It's going to happen. It has to happen. I only doubt that it was going to happen because we haven't had the insane ramp up that regular Eurovision has. Like, we don't know any artists yet. We do not know selection processes. We don't know how the voting is going to go. Mm-hmm. It's still being kept behind the curtain.
I mean, it's 3 months from now and they're going to have, 56 contestants or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are they not? We should have names by now.
I'm kind of expecting we're going to start seeing things fairly soon. And part of the reason I think that is, so February 21st is a Monday night, but it's not just any Monday night. It is the day after the closing ceremony of the 2022 Winter Olympics, which is also on NBC. So if, you know, unless they're dumb, I don't know, maybe they are, there are going to be dozens of ads for this during the Olympics. Every day.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think the timing of this is really exciting.
Considering that the emotional pull of the Olympics tends to be a lot of patriotic sort of USA, USA, and which would feed right into the celebration of American music.
Of pitting the states against each other.
Yeah.
They should have just called it the war between the states.
No.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Wasn't decided enough the first time.
No,
maybe.
Yeah, apparently. Evidently not.
Moving on. Yeah, I am really hopeful that there will be a lot of promo for this during the Olympics, in the lead up to the Olympics. Hopefully, maybe some of the artists and songs will be part of that promotion.
Yeah, I mean, for the sake of the artists, especially if they're just going directly into the music. And not really focusing on the singers, the songs, the artists and the teams behind them. I feel like it's kind of a missed opportunity. I mean, the thing about Eurovision is even if you come in last place in your semifinal, you still have millions of people watching. You still have a massive, massive platform, a massive audience. If, you know, there's a brief, if there's a cut before like the actual songs perform, it's like, okay, we only have room for, you know, 15 songs in this program, but we have these auditions and, you know, oh, sorry, Delaware, you got cut. That kind of takes away a lot of that audience. And you know, sorry, Delaware, you're kind of my punching bag. I'm from Jersey. It's what we do.
Delaware.
Jersey.
Hey.
Imagine if the first America Vision was won by literally like a state that people in Europe don't know where it is. Like, what if Idaho wins it?
Or Montana. Yeah.
Oh, they know Montana.
Wyoming.
What if Vermont wins it?
Mm-hmm. No, people know Vermont. This is good. Oh, that's where Bernie Sanders is from. Yeah.
Surprise entrant, Bernie Sanders. Yeah, I just worry, and Danny's right, we don't know exactly how this is going to play out, like what the format's going to be and everything. I worry that they're going to accelerate the elimination process like they do with like a Miss America or something like that, where within the first like 10 minutes, it's the field is cut from like 50 to 10.
Yeah.
Like, I really hope they don't do that.
Completely agree. Because, I mean, then you lose so much of what makes Eurovision Eurovision.
I have to wonder if they're going to do it special style or if they're going to make this like a 3-week event.
I think like, it's like a five. Like, I think it's like a 5 or 6 week event. Yeah, it's going to extend through April. And supposedly, I mean, the finale will be sometime in April, which the timing would be pretty darn good for the winner of the American Song Contest to maybe book a ticket to Turin.
I was going
to
say, do something in Italy.
Not as a competitor.
No.
To be clear.
America, yeah, honorary European country.
I think we can expect...
Interval act.
Maybe even as part of the deal with Peacock or something like that. We will see whoever wins this thing on the stage at Turin.
Yeah.
You can count on that, I think.
That could be fun, though.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think of back in 2014 when they had the sort of thank you to Australia for watching before we even knew that Australia was going to be participating the next year. We, you know, they had this nice little celebration of Australia. It's like, hey, thanks for showing it. Thanks for supporting. And they kind of let Australia have its moment. America has had a moment with Eurovision over the last year or so. Thanks, you know, and I'm begrudgingly thanking Will Ferrell for this. But between Will Ferrell and Måneskin, it's...
Together at last.
Yeah. Two tastes that go better together. People don't need to explain what Eurovision is anymore. Like, people just know what it is, it's which is cool. Crazy. I never, 10 years ago, I never, ever would have thought.
Yeah. So Sam, obviously, whoever wins the American Song Contest is not going to be competing in Eurovision itself in Turin. Do you think this could potentially be a gateway for the U.S. to be a competitor?
I don't think they would ever let the U.S. in.
Hang on, because you mentioned 2014, they let Australia do their little Australian thing, and then look what happened.
Yeah, I think the only tenuous thing, the only reason they allow that is because Australia is a Commonwealth country. Like, I really think that's the only reason why they were like, okay, we'll let them into Eurovision. But I don't think they would ever, ever let the U.S. into Eurovision.
It has nothing to do with the Commonwealth. It's the fact that Australia started broadcasting Eurovision in, like, 1983. So they had, like, 30 years to build up a fandom. And, you know, people have been rabid about Eurovision in Australia for decades. We don't have that background yet.
We don't.
Yeah. And to be clear, I'm not saying I disagree. I just wonder, what if this contest ends up being huge here? Like, the ratings for American Song Contest are through the roof. And it just seems like there's an enormous amount of money to be had by letting us into this. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen. I'm not saying that it should happen. I wonder. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I think the backlash that people threw at Australia when there was just the idea of them appearing for a year. Mm-hmm. And then they decided to come back.
Oh, yeah. We'd be the new UK. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. 0 points across the board.
People would not vote for us, but I could see it happening. Anyway, let's see. What else we got? Speaking of Måneskin.
Yeah, they had a nice night this weekend, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. Well, they've had a nice series of nights for the last 6 months.
Yeah, actually.
Yes. Even here on American TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've been doing the circuit here in the U.S. They were on Jimmy Fallon. They've been on The Ellen Show. They opened up for the Rolling Stones in their show in Las Vegas. Holy crap.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's video of that show on YouTube. It's really cool. It's amazing to see them on a stage like that. Obviously, you know, the stage they were on in Rotterdam was nothing to slouch at either.
Oh, yeah.
But Rolling Stones, man.
Yeah, seriously. That's freaking pinnacle. And then both Måneskin and John's Tears actually just won MTV European Music Awards this past weekend, which is incredible. Måneskin, oddly enough, losing the award for Best Italian Act, but winning the award for Best Rock Act in general. So beating Coldplay, Foo Fighters, you know.
I thought you were insisting that Coldplay won for Best Italian Act.
Somehow.
What can't they do?
The halftime
take that,
the
Coldplay.
Bowl.
Oh, oh.
Burn.
Got him. Yeah. John's Tears won an award as well.
Yeah, for Best Swiss Act.
The Best Swacked. That's great. I'm really glad to see he's still getting success. There was a great video of him running into Måneskin backstage at the EMAs, and it was such a wholesome like little family reunion.
Oh yeah,
sort of, that was really nice.
Yeah, even the fact that Damiano was wearing like assless chaps, it was still wholesome.
All chaps are assless.
I
how
know.
Many times do I have to say it?
Doesn't mean I don't
times?
Want to.
Whatever.
Yeah, how many times have we brought it up on this podcast?
How many times would you like to?
For the 35th and last time.
You know what? Okay. Assless chaps.
This show is now Assless Chaps from America.
Yeah.
Aren't they all?
The EU's COVID vaccine policy and assless chaps policy. What's the EU's assless chaps policy? Sam?
Pro? I'm not Sam, but.
Good. All right.
Depends on the country, I think.
Let's move into our 2022 news.
Well, hang on. Hang on, Danny.
What do we got?
I have a segue.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
I was just going to say, speaking of Måneskin and John's Tears, I'm going to move one of the things from the end of the notes to now.
Oh,
those two acts this past weekend were both used in performances of figure skaters at various national championships. There was a guy who skated to Tu L'Univers in Canada, and a guy in Japan who skated to ZTA Buoni, which is
God, oh, that's badass.
Awesome. That makes sense too.
That's really cool. So I don't know how well they did, except in my heart, they're tied for number one.
I remember, I think it was a couple years ago, it's a Russian figure skater named Evgenia Medvedeva, who actually did a really, really gorgeous routine to Beautiful Mess. So I recommend that one.
Well, now that we're done with that, let's roll into some news about 2022 with a contest proper.
Mm.
A couple of national news items here.
Yeah, Georgia has come out of left field in many ways and have announced their act.
When will Georgia not?
Come out of left field?
Yeah.
Well, then, you know, if they kept coming out of left field, then it would become trite. So then they would start coming out of right field, and that would blow your mind.
Give us something. Georgia, actually, before we start this, I will just do one little digression. I did a Friendsgiving this weekend, and one of my best friend, Tyler, his longtime girlfriend is from Åland, the Finnish islands in between Finland and Sweden. So she both equally rooted for Finland and Sweden in the contest. And I told her Sweden is a bad bet, and she's like, oh, I know. But we were just talking, and she was just like, you know, basically, she confirmed that most people in Europe hated the language rule. And she's like, listen, Ireland sucks now, which is great because they won too much. And we were talking about Georgia and how Georgia is always weird. And she's like, I want to see more weird stuff. And I was like, I say that all the time, too. Let's be best friends.
Aw.
It didn't pan out that way. But
oh. Yeah. But she ran away, terrified.
Like, we like Georgia being weird. We like all countries being unique and themselves.
Well, do we have an act for you, Danny?
Yeah, I was going to say, Georgia, : they're not Sweden.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, Georgia over the last couple of years is probably the least Sweden country.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But this year, they are sending Circus Mercus. Circus Shrarkus.
Circus Mercus, everybody. A very weird act is, the claims at least, to have been kicked out of a Georgian circus academy and then toured around in other circuses.
For dealing drugs?
I don't even know. Yeah, somehow they convened after working in other circuses. That's the story anyway. This leads me to the dumb rumor of the week, or possibly the awesome rumor of the week, and I can't decide which one it is.
Okay.
Those are always the best rumors, though.
I'm priced, then.
I will say this is not completely unfounded. It's just kind of mysterious.
Okay.
But the rumor is that Circus Mercus is the young Georgian Lolita.
Yes! Yes, yes, yes!
That There is some reason to believe that these are the same people or very closely associated with Young George and Lolita's The Folks Behind Midnight Gold, which was awesome.
Amazing.
It's the last song that Georgia qualified with, and with good reason.
Okay.
it was fantastic. But there, some of the folks, I think it's just over at WeeWee Blogs, did a little bit of research into these guys and kind of
debunked that.
Yeah. And, no, and just and it was basically like, yeah, there's no way the circus story is true.
You gotta believe. No.
But also like the singer from Young George and Lolita's
Nika Kocharov, yeah.
Was like the second person to follow the Circus Mercus Instagram account. There is pretty clearly some sort of connection, and there is maybe some reason to believe that it's actually just the same people under a different shtick. I don't want to say shtick because that sounds bad, but like that, yeah, that is the rumor that this is kind of sort of a returning artist, maybe.
If this is true, I am 1,000% on board with it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Midnight Gold was incredible. Young George and Lolita's, they gave no craps. And were so, so entertaining. One of quite possibly one of my top five favorite Eurovision songs of the past 10 years. So just to see that and just to play with the press and just to have fun with it and to just, yeah, if this is true, I'm all for it. Circus Mercus.
Circus Mercus. I mean, that's all we know. Like,
is that going to be our only weird rumor of the week?
Yeah, that's the rumor of the week.
I feel like that's a good one.
Yeah, it is a good one.
I'm really happy with that one.
One of the best in ages.
Yeah. All right, let's see. Sticking with countries in Eurovision, that's terrible. Albania. Albania has Albania. Named
they've got
the artists.
Artists.
Yeah, they have their artists for Festival of Kungas. Mm-hmm. And I didn't recognize the names, and I am hoping that Sam did.
Yeah, a handful of them. We're not going to see any returning artists from previous Eurovisions, but there are definitely some names that I recognize in the roster from previous Festival of Kungas. Most notably, Mirud, who's definitely a fan favorite, who's in the last year's competition as well. Rezarta Smaya, seen at previous events as well. Castro Zizo, I've seen around. Alvin Ramosai is, I believe, an X Factor winner. Andri and Steffi Prifti, I've seen. I mean, these are names that you just kind of get to know over the years. I'm not really up to snuff on what is current on the Albanian charts, but at the very least, for names that I recognize from Festival of Kungas' past, it should be a good show. And we actually have dates for it. It will be, they have two semifinals on the 27th and 28th of December with a final on the 29th. So by the end of the year, we will have an Albanian entry.
Yay!
Yay. I'm just also really relieved because normally Festival of Kungas happens like right before Christmas, and I was worried that it was going to overlap with Junior. But considering that there is an Albanian delegation at the Junior Eurovision this year, I feel like a lot of the time it's the same crew for Junior as Senior. So I'm glad that they pushed Festival of Kungas by a week or so just to kind of let everything kind of have its due.
Yeah, let me get back home and then you can do your thing. So I can watch.
Yeah, because there have been times that, like, I think it was at the Junior in 2014, so Malta, and there was a national final going on that week. I think it was for Macedonia for the 2015 contest, and like we were all distracted. We were all just like, so anyway, I like having the bit of separation. But then again, we don't know officially when the Czech national final is going to be. We know it'll be in December, but it could very well be during that week.
I'm just going to be spamming all the votes I can.
To quote noted Eurovision artist The Offspring, you got to keep them separated.
Yeah.
Moving on, Estonia.
yeah, Estonia. One of our other early national competitions.
We got some deets from Estonia, the land of stones.
Unofficial Scandinavian country, Estonia.
Yes.
We'll see.
Aww, they're trying.
We have a lot of names of the acts for Estee Lauel, which includes, I was just as excited as everyone to see this because I know Stig Rasta. We got the Stig versus the Traff. We've got Stig versus his band.
Yep, his former band. Stig Rasta, who we all know from Goodbye to Yesterday and for co-writing Play the following year, and also Storm for Victor Krohn. He will be performing as a soloist.
We don't have to talk about Storm. We don't We don't have to talk about that.
We probably should, considering Victor Crone is listed as a co-writer for Sting's song.
Like this!
Oh, God.
The Hatari palate cleanser.
Oh, my gosh, it really was.
It was the Uku of 2 years ago. All right.
Yep, so Stig is going up against the band Traffic, who have tried many, many times at Junior Eurovision, at ACLOW. They've been going a long time, y'all. So it's interesting to see Stig going up against his former band. I don't think the split was an acrimonious split when he left the group in 2016. He's continued to write stuff for them, but it's just an interesting narrative to see the two kind of going head to head. Other notable names in the quarterfinal that we have just been presented with today, Evelyn Samuel, who Eurovision fans might recognize as the singer of the song Diamond of Night for the 1999 contest, coming in sixth place, if I'm not mistaken. Other familiar names, Jakub Twisk, Kea, those are the only other names that I recognize, but I am
the
seeing
only ones
a...
that we recognize then.
Well, I'm also seeing under the composer... the composer stack O people for the song Hey Apayev by Little Mess. It's co-written by Tanya, who represented Estonia in 2014.
Tanya.
I quite liked Jakub Twisk's song from a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Beautiful Lie.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Besides the duality of Stig and Traffic, that was the name that jumped out to me the most. And this is just the first group. There's going to be four groups. Is that right?
Yep. Yep. Over the next four weekends, there will be quarterfinals going on.
So this is happening this weekend?
This is happening this weekend. We'll get our first actual songs. Yeah.
Holy potatoes.
Uh-huh.
Just think, we might hear the winning song this weekend.
That's so weird.
Yeah, we might, though. Yeah.
Yep.
We could. We can't say we won't.
Statistically, unlikely. But.
Very unlikely.
But it could happen. So quarterfinals over the next four weekends. Then we have a little bit of a break, and then two semifinals on the 3rd and 5th of February. And a final is scheduled for February 12th. So, yeah, things are happening, y'all.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
Aww.
It warms the cockles of your heart. Speaking of hot cockles, Austria has done something that... Austria has narrowed down their four possible acts, and they will be announcing it in December. And the way that they have teased the four acts is equal combinations tantalizing and infuriating, because I don't know with each description of these bands whether I will really like them or if they're going to be the worst I've ever heard. Act one. A Vienna-based electronic duo with origins in Southern Tyrol with a very distinctive sound. Now, Eric notes that this is probably Anger.
Yeah, there's a group called Anger that fits this to a T.
It just sounds like dubstep, but with like the Rocola yodeling. That's just kind of what I fear. Act two, a combination between electro swing and EDM with a charismatic female singer. It's either going to be Caro Emerald or it's going to be someone who's going to make me want to melt my face off with acid.
Electro Velvet?
Yeah, maybe. Yikes.
They're back in
Act three, a very cool pop act, but not in the usual average radio pop idiom from Styria, who are very funky, but not too aggressive.
That's what I put in my old dating profile.
Yeah, I know. Very funky, but not too aggressive.
Not too aggressive. It's okay.
I've also heard Cheese is described that way as well.
Yeah, a very cool pop act, but not in the usual average radio pop idiom. Just literally sounds like I'm not like other girls. It's the I'm not like other girls of pop music, apparently.
Yeah, my Eurovision sandwich is going to be very funky, but not too aggressive.
Not too aggressive. Yeah, it's going to have Grey Poupon, but not like spicy Grey Poupon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, anything but that.
And then Act 4, the most successful Austrian DJ act ever with 80 million Spotify followers, 180 million YouTube clicks with a young female singer. Eric, you think that this is Lumix?
Lumix. It's probably Lumix, yeah.
Okay.
It's what I've listened to leading up to the show has been pretty standard EDM. And we haven't gotten anything quite that like straightforward EDM in the contest, really. We had Darude, I guess.
Yeah.
Is this another Darude situation where they pair up?
That was very, very vocal heavy, though, for what you'd expect from, say, Darude. When you hear Darude Sandstorm is going to be playing Eurovision.
Well, I mean, it's kind of a it's a contest that lends itself to singing and not the music.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's true. That's true. So like EDM sort of doesn't have that great of a shot at Eurovision because people are expecting a vocal pop song contest. Mm-hmm. And if you just come with, you know, like it's not really going to be.
Yeah. I mean, there was an attempt that my brain goes to DJ Take Me Away. That would have been Bulgaria 2007, 2008.
Dixie Chick just saying it in my head like, DJ, take me away.
But it was really very focused on the beat and the music with just a single female vocal line kind of weaving through it, repeated over and over again. It didn't qualify, but it was a fine little song. It just didn't really have the impact. So you have to kind of balance it out because oftentimes when you think, you know, EDM or in its natural habitat, you want it to be longer than 3 minutes so you can really kind of get into it and dance, don't you?
Yeah, so I can ride out my acid high. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
Obviously.
What was that song from Norway? I think it was like in the 70s. It seemed like they just wanted to send a musical song with no lyrics, and they had to add some lyrics. So there's like no singing for like the first minute and a half of the song.
Well, there's that, but there's also I mean, it's not an EDM song by any stretch, but Nocturne. Yeah, Nocturne, which is, you know, the one line, but it's mostly just the swell of the orchestration and the nickel harpa and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's a tough balance to strike, but sometimes it works, I guess. We'll see what happens. We'll see what this national final actually brings us. And if our predictions are correct of who this actually is.
Right. Yeah, this could be way off, but it seems like those are some of the ones in the running. And we could be right and they could just not pick them and it wouldn't matter anyway. But that's where we're at there. Next up, we have the most important country, San Marino. And yes. this is not super huge news, although for San Marino, it kind of is, I think. It was revealed, now as a reminder, they are doing a national final, apparently.
Mm-hmm. And
apparently, they asked our good pal...
robot!
No, Valentina Minetta.
Was
represented
really,
San Marino.
Really, an old friend, yeah.
Yes, San Marino 4 times now. Has been asked to do this, and apparently she said no.
So she's finally done with it.
No, that's the thing. She said she would be interested in being internally selected again. She is not interested in competing in a national final.
Yeah, she's never had to compete in a national final. She's always just been internally selected.
Yeah, why should she have to work harder?
Valentina is a delight, though.
We do not deign to compete.
I'm still waiting for the Sir Hat Senit combination Sen Hat.
Christ, Sen Hat.
Yeah. Featuring Flo Rida, I assume.
Still cannot get over Flo Rida just calling her Sen Hit the entire time. In the late, like, no one told him how to actually pronounce her name.
They couldn't upset him in any way.
No. Then we have last to round out the national front news. We got two of the big guys. Sweden. Eric's note just says Sweden can't help themselves. They may be giving John Lundvik another shot. That can't be right.
That's the rumor.
The mamas came back. So like whatever. But like John Lundvik.
Uh huh. So he's going to be back. Robin Bengtsson's going to be back. I mean, this is what
Benjamin
Melfest
Ingrosso's
do.
Benjamin coming back.
Oh no, I think he's. I think
he's done. Yeah, but yeah, there are some other names that, you know, always pop up in this thing. That
Britney Spears. Her conservatorship is over. She's finally competing for Sweden,
and she's officially declared herself Swedish now. Like Margaret. Like, just hearing this is so disappointing to me. Like, haven't you guys learned anything? I feel like it's unlikely, but I totally see Sweden not qualifying in the next few years. If they're just,
but
this is their
it answer. Might happen. If they just keep recycling people who have come before, and it's like, well, what do you want? You placed ninth. You placed fifth.
Well, and stop they picked a new artist this past year, and it's still, I mean, he was like ninth in the semi, right? He's still barely qualified.
Mm-hmm.
So Sam, what were you going
to
say?
You have to keep in mind when songs are selected for Melody Festival, and you're not, the selection process isn't necessarily considering Eurovision entirely. It's also about who will attract a domestic Swedish audience.
Yeah, it's about who's going to want it in the morning and want it in the evening. Yeah.
That's a weird thing to say because they deliberately designed an international jury so that when they sent it to Eurovision...
Yeah, so that it would have appeal for the big contest.
Yeah. So they got that jury vote lock regardless.
Mm.
I mean, you saw what happened to Ingrosso.
Oh, yeah.
Second in the juries?
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, yep.
And then 21 points.
I mean, again, just because these singers are selected for the show doesn't necessarily mean only one person can win. You still have to get viewers into the door, even if they're not necessarily to our tastes. You have to get the Swedish audience on board watching the shows. Remember, they have a larger audience for Melody Festival than they do for Eurovision proper. Like, they're only beaten by Donald Duck.
They could do it. I think they have the resources and the talent to elevate something a little different.
I agree. I certainly agree. I mean, it's not like Sweden doesn't have a deep, deep pool of diverse musical sensibilities and styles, but sometimes you want to see a familiar face. And by you, I mean an average Swedish audience member.
Derek's right. We should send Måns again. Yeah. No.
he already goes to the contest every single year. Are you kidding?
If he's going to be there anyway, why not just give him?
I would love more than anything just to be surprised by whatever Sweden does. I would love to turn around and just be like, I didn't expect this, and I love it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If only they were a little bit, I'm going to say this, if only they were a little bit more like Switzerland. Switzerland sends a great top 40 style pop every year. The sort of stuff that it's really easy on the ear, it's real catchy, and it has the same kind of production behind it. But Switzerland sends a really diverse array within that category. I'm thinking over the past 5 years with what I'm familiar with.
Okay, that's fair. No, Danny's right. I mean, you have John. You had she got me the year before.
Zibs
the year before that, and who was Switzerland?
Yeah, Sabalter earlier in the decade.
Yeah, that was 2014.
Uh-huh. It's like, if only Sweden would give us a big variety like that, like all pop, all nice and appealing, but at least we're not going with the same, you know, Max Martin style songwriting every single time.
I think Italy is just the perfect example of what Sweden should be doing. I mean, you look at you got Måneskin, big rock band.
And Mahmood. Oof.
Mahmood before that, pop artist. Like, they're so good and they're so well produced and they really demonstrate like this diversity of talent. San Remo is just kind of like the perfect vehicle for finding like genuinely good music.
Yeah, and it works on both a domestic Italian level as well as the international level.
It's just a shame San Remo lasts for 4 years.
It's so strange.
What do you mean a shame? That's the best part of it.
It's so strange that every year everyone talks about, oh, Sweden is going to be like this dark horse winner. It's like Italy just so consistently does well. I think
Italy has been the dark horse winner every single time. Yeah. Italy has always been the bridesmaid.
Well, they got hitched this year, that's for damn sure.
They sure did.
All right, well, eventually.
Let's move along. The last one here, the other heavy hitter, Germany here, is Erica said Germany is going to leave the format that gave us Jendrik and returns to the one that gave us Sisters. So
that's right, Danny.
You know, coin flip there, you know.
Yeah, they're going. The point being, they're going back to national finals, which I'm in favor of. Yeah. The frustrating thing is the national final that gave us Sisters was so good. Except for Sisters. And then somehow, I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand what happened there at all.
Speaking as somebody who has a massive spreadsheet full of songs to foist upon my friends, the number of songs that have come out of German national finals specifically.
Oh, boy.
Oh, I'm thrilled to have another one just to add to the arsenal.
If only we had a ton of stuff from Intervision. Like, I would love to have a battle of East Germany versus West Germany sometime. I would love to do that.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Ooh, yeah. There's got to be an archive somewhere.
Yeah.
Sam, can we do a German national final 12 points reacts at some point?
Absolutely.
Maybe release that ahead of whenever their final ends.
We've already done biceps, triceps, you know? Gluteus maximus.
Yes, but wait until you meet Mr. Fisto.
Okay. Oh my God. All right. What's our next topic?
Moving on.
We did want to. We're kind of done with all of that. We're on to just a smattering of junior Eurovision news.
Mm-hmm. We've had a number of other acts pick their songs. As of today, the day we're recording, I think we are missing two songs We're missing Azerbaijan, and we're missing
Armenia.
Okay. Could be some hot action out of there, though.
Mm-hmm. Definitely possible. A lot of, I mean, Azerbaijan, a lot of exciting.
Has not been slouching for the past couple of years.
A lot of exciting national finals that happened. I want to note at least one, probably the weirdest thing I've heard about that has happened in one of these, and that was over in Ukraine.
Oh, yeah. There was a last minute withdrawal.
I am not seeing her name now.
Realina, I think it was. Angel of Light. Yeah.
Yeah. And the issue, and I don't think I've ever heard of this happening in one of these before, she had to pull out a day before the contest because it turned out she did not have the rights to the song she was singing.
Oops.
Hey, these things happen.
No, they don't.
Somehow the songwriter came out and was like, oh, I didn't say you could use this. And they had gone all the way through this whole process without, you know, checking on that. It's like Coolio and Weird Al. Like,
something like that actually kind of happened at the big contest. That would have been Bulgaria 2013. The act was internally selected, and they had a 3-song national final. And the song called Kismet was selected by the public. And then a few days later, it was said, okay, we can't do Kismet because supposedly the composers have withdrawn the rights for us to sing it at the big show. So they ended up going to this other song called Samo Championi, which supposedly the act wanted to sing in the first place. So, but yeah, it was a bit of a mess and a little bit shady, but oh, Samo Championi, that's a fun one. That's one I can add to the list for later foistings. Ooh.
Oh boy.
Oh yes. The hits just keep on coming.
There is going to be so much foisting. Mm-hmm. Here on 12 Foists from America. Anyway, what else? Let's say, like we said, we're starting our junior preview next week, so we're not going to get into a ton of details on a lot of these. But I did see, this is really exciting, and hopefully maybe a sign of things to come.
Mm-hmm.
Iceland is going to be broadcasting junior for the first time since 2003. That was the first junior.
They
broadcast the first one, and then we're like, nah. And then now here we are 18 years later, whatever. And they're giving it another go. So
Iceland doesn't really participate in junior Eurovision. So, I mean, it makes sense. Why are they deciding to broadcast it now?
It's programming. They do technically have the ability to do so as members of the EBU. It might be a way to test the waters and see what kind of viewership they get to potentially see if it's worth their time doing in a future year. Interestingly enough, because of the fact that Iceland is where Iceland is, they're actually going to be broadcasting on a 2-hour and 45-minute delay. So, you know, it's a bit of a issue with that. Just, I mean, it's in France, so it's not as far away as, you know, if the contests were held in Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
But, but yeah, so they're moving
coming
it
to you live from Chelyabinsk.
so they are showing it. They're showing it on a delay, but it'll be interesting to see if anything develops for Junior 2022 from RUV.
I hope so. I hope this is their step one. Believe in it. Of that's how you join Junior Eurovision.
They just got to roll with it.
Yep.
Which, I mean, that'd be great considering that we haven't actually had any of the Nordic nations at Junior Eurovision since that would have been 2014 was the last show up. So, yeah, we haven't had any of the Nordics since then.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Denmark pulled out. Norway's pulled out.
That's right. Denmark did. Yeah.
Yeah. Finland's never taken part.
Mm-hmm. How is Sweden not all over this?
It's honestly, it's a question of.
It's Donald Duck, isn't it?
It's Donald Duck. That pantsless son of a... Anyway.
Hunk!
No, I think Sweden just decided that it wasn't in line with their general children's programming.
Sure.
Yeah, it was, you know, their decision.
I imagine that's a popular sentiment across Europe, and I think it accounts for the type of songs that we see come from certain countries. I can just imagine, you know, like a couple of years ago, what was it, 2 Junior Eurovisions ago, there was Spain and there was a rash of countries that just sent songs about the environment and songs about like saving the earth. Like, I feel like there's for Junior Eurovision, some of these broadcasters, I think, have rules and standards about enriching or, you know, prescribing the content of the songs a bit more than for the main contest.
I think for some, it was sort of seen as the original version of the contest. The kids had a little bit more of a driver's seat kind of a thing going on. They were obligated to at least be 50% of the songwriting team. Now we're kind of seeing that kind of going away. And the number of songs that are kid written is very, very, very low comparatively to what it was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that could partially be a part of it. It's like, is it a kid's show or is it a show for and by kids?
Was G-Machine written by her in part?
No, G-Machine, that was a Barbara Pravi joint.
Oh, wow, that's right.
Yeah.
So wild.
I know.
If only she had brought G-Machine.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine if they swapped songs?
Maybe that'll be the interval act.
Two of them doing a duet. That'd be pretty cool, actually.
That would be really cute.
It would be. That would be. I imagine she'd have fun with it. Barbara would be on board, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
What is this band, Offenbach, who is going to be opening
Yeah, opening with Orpheus in the Underworld.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just the Can-Can, yeah.
Yeah, no, there is some sort of French DJ duo called Offenbach.
Oh, that's such a French DJ duo name.
Oh, I know. it's pretty on the nose. But yeah, they're going to be opening the show. That's all we know, really.
That is it. All right. Kind of EDM coming up the pike from a couple of countries happening. Mm-hmm. Are we going to get some electronic stuff? Like, I don't know if we're going to get, like, everyone is always, Måneskin won, now everyone's going to bring rock music. I just think we're going to see a lot of genres that throw a little harder. That's going to be my big prediction.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like after Lordi won the following year, we did see a massive uptick in rock. Back in 2017, after Salvador Sobral won, I was thinking, oh, maybe there'll be more jazz or more like old school kind of stuff coming in the following year. I didn't necessarily see that per se, but what I did see was a wider variety of genres in general, that people were more willing and able to take genre risks, do things a little bit differently. You know, the following year we saw Ave Esh. We also saw more songs in native language,
mm-hmm.
which was fantastic to see. So I feel like when you have a song that is so different from what people expect at Eurovision, maybe instead of having a copycat effect, you have more of a amplification of what people are willing to give a shot at. So that's what I'm hoping to see. Just continue this wide variety and keep things relevant to what is actually appearing on the charts.
I mean, yeah, I think we get some sort of influx of people imitating the winner a lot of the time. And I do think that's going to be the case next year. But a lot of times there will be imitators of other things that did well. I mean, there was a definite Fuego effect in 2019. I wonder this year, could we get a Barbara Pravi effect, more of that sort of solo emotional ballad sort of a thing? Could we get a Go-Ah effect?
Please.
Just have things be freaking bonkers.
Please. Please.
Yeah.
Oh, God, please.
More.
Yeah.
Oh.
One last little bit of news here that's only ever so tangentially related to Eurovision, really.
What has that ever stopped us?
That's fair. We were talking about sandwiches before. So in the other sandwich news, the OGAE has a song contest, not just a second chance contest, but sort of their own little Eurovision-y song contest with songs not from Eurovision,
mm-hmm.
but just songs from each country that I guess the respective fan clubs pick.
Mm-hmm.
I assume. And yep. To be fair, a lot of times they pick artists associated with Eurovision, and there were a lot of them this year. There were 29 total performers, and we had a number of competitors from past ESCs. Benjamin Ingrosso was in there, Mickey from Spain, Damir Kedzo mm-hmm. from Croatia, Helena Paparizou, who won in 2005, Aymar Quinn, who won in 1996, was in there. Fear and Flama was in this, so they did the double, so to speak, and they finished seventh, which is kind of mm-hmm. wild. But the winner, edging out Finland's Erika Wickman, another name I hope to see in our upcoming news shows, the winner was Australia.
Mm.
Popular singer Tones and I.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I thought that Tones and I was left back in 2018 where she belonged.
Wow.
I have opinions about Tones and I.
I guess.
You can tell I do not like her.
Yeah. Yeah. A song called Fly Away by Tones and I was number one with 172 points, just ahead of Erika Wickman. Third place, the United Kingdom. Good for them. Then France, Italy, Portugal finished sixth. And then, yeah, lots of interesting names. The rest of the world delegation picked U.S. artist Kali Yukis, who finished Kali Yukis.
I mean, not familiar. But who?
I know the name. I guess I don't recall. Finished 17th with a song called Telepatia. Kali Yukis, real name Carly Marina Loaiza, American singer songwriter.
Hmm. I may have to do some digging, something to add to my playlist for later.
Father is from Colombia. Has done some work with Gorillaz as a vocalist, it looks like.
Okay. Wow. Huh. Well, U.S. does get around.
Mm-hmm.
don't.
All right. So I suppose the next time that the four of us reconvene, the three of you will be talking about Junior Eurovision, and I will be sitting here twiddling my thumbs.
Sam will be blowing her whistle. Sam will be in her Moira Quirk from Guts outfit. She's going to be refereeing everything.
Oh, I finally get to wear it.
Do we get to go on the aggro crag?
Yep, I've been building it.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm building it in my backyard right now, guys.
Woohoo!
Get to take a piece of it home.
Do you have it? Let's cue that up for next week's music.
Nice. Oh, that's a reference that only a small percentage of our listeners will get.
Oh, come on. I'm sure. Oh, well, actually, they did not get Guts over in Europe. Definitely not. So. Anyway, that's probably it for this week.
Let us know your favorite Guts moments on social media, which is great.
Well, you should know this one by now, buddy. It's 12pointsUSA at either Facebook or Twitter, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. Again, find us on YouTube. Let us know what you think about that video that we posted, and more will be following soon. Sorry, Danny. Yeah. Not sorry.
I'll learn the social sometime in the next 100 episodes. You can count on it.
Just memento, tattoo it somewhere on yourself, and you'll remember it for next time.
Rule number one, Sam's Twitter address.
That's right.
It's not just mine. It's all of ours. Even yours,
Rule
Danny.
Number two, just roll with it.
Step three, profit. And on that note, everybody, we will catch you on our next episode. But until then, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Danny.
In America, stop listening now.
Okay, Danny, go ahead and do the thing.
Do my what?
Roll into the next segment, whatever.
Oh.